It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. The New Mexico Public Education Department has received federal approval to amend its grading system for school performance. The Albuquerque Journal reports that the U.S. Department of Education approved changes to the state's education plan last week, allowing it to replace the A through F grading system. Dr. Timothy Hand, the department's Deputy Secretary of Policy Strategy and Accountability, says the new dashboard system launching in November will contain federally required information as well as more qualitative information, including academic stats and subject proficiency and growth, budgetary data, and graduation rates and readiness. In more news, the number of migrants taken into custody after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border dropped last month for the first time this year. As KERA's Mallory Falk reports for the Texas News Hub, shelters in El Paso are seeing the change.
About 104,000 migrants were taken into custody after crossing the southwest border in June, according to the Department of Homeland Security. That's a 28% drop from May. Ruben Garcia runs Annunciation House, a migrant shelter in El Paso. He says several weeks ago, his group was receiving between 600 and 1,000 migrants per day. Now it's between 75 and 100. Garcia partly attributes the drop to increased border security in Mexico.
Mexican government enforcement is now on steroids. And they are, as a result of that, preventing many Central Americans from reaching the border.
He also points to the Remain in Mexico program and notes that numbers traditionally dip in the summer. In El Paso, I'm Mallory Falk.
Okay, let's move on to a local viewpoint. Immigration policy has been a hot topic of debate. Commentator Walt Rubel says the issue so far has displayed plenty of political theater without any long-term solutions.
What should happen when a person living in our country seeking asylum has their case heard by the court, is found not to be eligible for asylum, and is ordered removed from the country? That question, posed by Jose Diaz-Balart during the recent Democratic debate, deserves a discussion longer than what was allowed for in the debate format. After all, every case is different. What if the person has been a productive member of the community for a decade or longer? What if he or she is the sole provider for an American-born child? What about the dreamers who were brought here by their parents when they were young children? What if the person is a member of the military or a first responder serving their hometown? It's estimated that there are more than 1 million people who have remained in the country following a court order of removal. Some of them, like former Mexican journalist Emilio Gutierrez Soto, have incredibly compelling cases to make. His reporting on corruption in the Mexican military resulted in death threats that forced him to flee to Las Cruces with his son, where they have lived for more than 9 years. There's no benefit to our country to be derived from the deportation of those who have lived and worked here for years. But there's also no remedy offered by Congress that would provide a legal way forward. And so, lacking the political will necessary to reform an asylum system that was designed for the Cold War, both sides have settled into an uncomfortable status quo in which we simply ignore laws instead of trying to fix them. In his failed attempts to get Congress to act, former President Barack Obama argued for years that he did not have the power to offer protection to dreamers through executive action. Then, when it became clear that waiting for Congress was hopeless, Obama did what he said he couldn't. Republicans are now challenging that action in court, while at the same time assuring that they really don't want to see those kids get deported. Everybody understands that we're not going to have a mass roundup and forced deportation of the more than 1 million people with orders of removal. But any attempt to sort that out and come to some kind of reconciliation is immediately denounced as amnesty. Without the ability to legislate, we're left with political theater. President Donald Trump is threatening mass deportations. Again. He originally sent a tweet in June threatening millions of deportations, with raids focused on cities that have opposed his hardline immigration policies. He now says the raids will come fairly soon. Obama deported more than 400,000 people in 2012 and hoped nobody would notice. Trump has yet to deport as many as 300,000 in any year, but draws attention to the issue every day. His administration has routinely violated court-ordered restrictions on the detention of children. Federal facilities used to hold immigrants lack basic necessities. A recent General Accounting Office inspection of four facilities found immediate risks or egregious violations of detention standards, including inadequate medical care, significant food safety issues, and overly restrictive segregation. Obama tried to find a compassionate solution and ended up being the deporter-in-chief. Trump clearly desires a more hardline solution, but his zero-tolerance policy has inflicted cruelty on children and families without slowing the flow of new immigrants. Congress shakes its collective head in disapproval and does nothing. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
While Rubel's columns appear in the local viewpoint section at KRWG.org, Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.